So thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be here. Truthfully, I said it to the ladies yesterday, Joe and I have been friends for about 15 years. And I was saying yesterday that you've got no idea how much your pastor blesses my life. And so you've got no idea how far your church actually reaches. We're one church in 12 locations, 9 in the UK and 3 overseas. And I run a anti-trafficking agency and I employ 80 staff. And your pastor is my ear. She listens to me. I can talk to her and she prays. So you've just got no idea how far your influence actually stretches in just having a pastor that supports me. And I think I support Joe too sometimes, occasionally. So thank you so much for lending your pastor to me as a friend, because in the ministry you need them. So I have just got something bubbling inside me today. And do you know there are moments in your life and moments in your church when God literally wants to move you. There are days and moments in your church life where God wants to take you from here to there. And I really believe that today is one of those Sundays. You haven't changed the name of your church because it was a good idea. The name of your church has changed because God has got a new season for you. And I just believe, as I preach this morning, I'm proclaiming a new season over your life and over the life of your church. And I'm praying today that when you leave this place, you won't leave the same. There's no point coming to church on a Sunday to decorate a blue chair. Anybody with me? There's no point. You've come to church today because you want to touch the King of Heaven. You want your life to be changed. You want the Holy Spirit to move in your world. Otherwise, it's just all very boring. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray today that God puts a Holy Spirit bomb under your bum and your life is changed forever. Anyone with me? Give me a wave. You want God to touch your life today. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you are here. And Father, where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst of them. And you're here. And God, you're not just here. You're here to do stuff. You're here to move us. You're here, oh God, to take us to the next level. You hear us. You're here to move us literally into the next chapter and season of our lives in our church. And Father, I thank you that you promised us, Lord God, that you will build your church. And Father, that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. We thank you that your church is on the move in this wonderful town of Louth. We thank you for the influence and all they have for our lives. And I better stop or I'll start prophesying before I preach. Right. Okay. So, next Sunday, in our lives, our church is 25 years old. Yes, I know. And so we came from Australia 25 years ago. Dave and I was 4 months pregnant. We knew nobody in the UK whatsoever, except actually Del and Grayson Jones. We'd met them before. And we came and started from scratch 25 years ago. And so next Sunday is quite a big milestone in the life of our church. When we came, I was 25, and now I'm 50. Yes, it's all happened. Had the party, got the glasses to prove I'm 50. And my husband wrote a book recently, and it was hilarious. And it was taken from our journals on the early days. And the book was called Up the Creek Without a Paddle. And Math pointed out to us that on the front page they'd put a boat, but they'd put a paddle in it. So whoever did that didn't think what they were doing. Because the title of the book is Up the Creek Without a Paddle. And it was just talking about all that we'd done and, you know, what we'd been through, and when I used to put knives and forks on the table and believe God for dinner. And I remember a moment when, because my son was very, very hyperactive and still is, and I remember praying once, because we had no money, I prayed for, you know, one of those baby bouncers that you hang from the door? You can literally just hang the kid there for a while. So I was praying for one of those, and then the next day my husband went up into the loft of the house, and the only thing that was in the loft was a baby bouncer. Like, you know, just stories of just dramatic God intervention in our lives. You know, there's stories in there about how we did a evangelistic crusade and Dave had glandular fever and he puked out of the door of the car 5 times on the way into and then preached. We're hardcore, us pastors. We're hardcore. Just some of the things we would do and some of the things we would never do ever again. And it was an amazing read. And I just remember one thing very, very early on, because when you come to the UK, There's certain things that Australians say that mean different things here. And I'm still learning, but most of them I've got down now. But I remember very, very early on, an elderly pastor came round to visit Dave and I was about 7 months pregnant. And I told the elderly pastor that I was going to go out the back and put my thongs on. I discovered that they're called flip-flops in this country. So we've learned an awful lot over those 25 years, what not to do. And I was thinking about, like, okay, so we've done 25. What's the next 25? And I don't know about you. I don't want to do a repeat performance. I don't want to go and repeat the past move of God. I don't want to make the same mistakes. I want God to do a new thing. I want the next 25 years to look completely different to the previous 25 years. And God really spoke to me. And I really feel this applies to your church this morning. It's not just time to turn the page. It's not just time to go to the next chapter of the book. Because the next chapter of the book assumes that the characters and the storyline and everything that's gone on so far is basically going to be the same with a slightly different twist. And God spoke to me and said, it's not just time to turn the page, it's time to start a completely new story. And so the title of my message this morning to you, church, is the sequel. Wow. It's the sequel. It's not the same story. You've changed the name of your church. It's not the same story. God's got a whole new thing to do in your church life and in your individual life. Anybody want God to do something new? Yeah. You're crazy if you don't. You want God to come and do something dramatic and new in your life. A sequel is something you really, really look forward to. I'm not interested in another lazy read. I'm not interested in knowing what's going to happen. I want God to surprise me. I want the God of heaven to come and literally do something so amazing that I'm gobsmacked, that my mouth is open saying, God, wow, what an incredible thing you've done. A sequel is something that's hotly anticipated. It's the next Rambo movie, although we all know that Sylvester Stallone will still pretend he's 21 and turn up again. You know, it's the next series of Downton Abbey if it ever comes out. It's a sequel. It's anticipation. It's excitement. It's what's going to happen next. It's faith. It's raw, it's true, it's exciting, it's exhilarating. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to do something new with you. And then turn to the other neighbor and say, and you as well. So I was reading from John. I'm going to really preach from the scripture this morning. So the oldies will be pleased that I'm not a maverick. I'm going to speak to you from John and the story of the best wine, which is a funny message. Do you like the glasses? Yeah. Yep, I have to try and keep trendy, on trend in Sheffield. Okay, John chapter 2, I'm going to read to you the story of Jesus changing the water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim, and then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Wow, there's an anointing on that scripture. dare you to believe that God has saved the best till now. What would you dream about if God came and did something that was beyond your wildest imaginations? What would you dream about if you thought that this room was way, way too small for your church and your church tripled? Just saying. Just saying, church. So often the reason that we personally and as a church see less and less is that we settle for yesterday's magnificence and don't believe that God has better wine to come. We develop, oh, I'm really talking to them now, Joe. We develop sensible lives. Start to wear sensible shoes. We massage sensible bank balances. We develop respectable personas. Eggshells. And God wants to do something new. I can't think of one moment when Jesus' mission was to look respectable. His life was about a saving mission. And I'm here to proclaim today to your church that the best wine, the choicest of fruits, the lion's share, the biggest portion, the last slice of cake is saved till now. God wants to do something new in this church in Louth. The greatest outpouring, the purest compassion, the greatest grace, the perfect healing, the perfect opportunity is saved to your last. This is not the end. This is the beginning of the greatest outpouring and abundance of provision. You know, we're at a place in Sheffield. We have a 58,000 square building and it's on the market. And we are believing God to purpose build a 1,500 seater auditorium and a whole facility in Sheffield. And this is millions of pounds. And we could settle in our nice building that we've been in for 15 years. We could settle in that nice building. But God's got more. We joke that my husband has a serious Peter Pan syndrome because he's 56 and he thinks he's 16. He said, but I'm not stopping. I'm believing God for more. God has more. There, God wants to outpour his spirit upon this nation. And it's not just selected to the big cities, church. God wants to pour out his spirit on this community. Is anybody with me? God wants to pour out his spirit. And so he requires something of us. This is a bit when you need to pinch your neighbor's cheek, top set. Make sure they're awake. So John 2 verse 3 says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, this has the potential to be no fun anymore. That's what she was saying. Well, the wine's all gone. This has the potential to be no fun. And I'd like to say to you this morning in your life, if that is the situation, all gone is the full stop that demands another sentence. So the place where you've come as a church to this point is the full stop that demands the next sentence from God. It demands the thing to come. It demands the currency that runs heaven, and that's faith. And faith has become like this ethereal New Age word. It's like a floaty something or other, sort of floating around in an abyss waiting for something to happen. But faith actually requires action. That's what the Bible talks about. Faith is something that requires action. And Jesus asked the people to go and fill up their best pots. And these pots were usually reserved for better purposes. And he asked them to go and fill them up with water, because he wanted them to do something that would house a miracle. We've got to do something that could house a miracle. We've got to place our lives in a position that only God could meet. We've got to place ourselves on the edge, because it's on the edge, it's on the precipice that God comes and meets us in faith. And I'm positive that after preaching this today, that God will challenge your church. He'll challenge a church and say, right, what are we going? Are you going to step out? Because it's so easy to be comfortable when you fill a room. It's so easy to become comfortable. And God wants us to be a people that step out in faith and provide a place where God can come and do a miracle. Is anybody with me? God, not just in your church setting, but in your individual life. You need to place yourself in a position, in a position where God can do a miracle. Otherwise, we're just living very non-Holy Spirit, very boring, sensible lives that just look like our neighbors. And God wants us to be different. God wants us to be a people that are constantly believing God for something, believing God for our neighbors, believing for miracles in every area of our lives. Is anybody awake? Good. You know, we often wonder, don't we, why Jesus just doesn't do a Shazam or an abracadabra. Have you ever had a thought, why doesn't God just grow money trees in the back garden? You have, yeah? I've had it as well. Often. And the reason is, it's because God wants us to step out in faith. There's been so many, innumerable times over the years where we've taken a whole Sunday's offering and given it to the local community. And the reason we've done it is because usually we've been in lack as a house. So we've thought we're going to live by the scripture here. This is people's wages. And we've given, and God has always come through in the most miraculous way. And until we step out of the safety zone, Joe's never going to have me back. Until we step out of, don't leave the stepping out of the safety zone to the big evangelists on TV. We need to step out of the safety zone and begin believing God, placing ourselves in a situation. Unless God comes through, we are at it. We're cactus. Faith is the currency of heaven. Cash isn't. Lack demands faith and action. And I'm going to take you to another story in John. And it's the story of the blind man with Jesus in the pool of Siloam. And I'll just read you this part of the verse because you know the story. And this blind man was with Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to the guy. He said, then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Now let's just unpack this scripture for a moment. The first thing Jesus did was got some mud and saliva and whacked it on the guy's face. Now, if I'd come with a jar of mud this morning and said, if you want healing, come out here, I'm going to whack it on your face, you probably would have arrested me. So it was a mad thing he did. But then he told, listen to me, a blind man to go to the pool of Siloam. He was blind. How did a blind man with an extra layer of mud and puke on his face, how did that blind man get to the pool of Siloam? And so there was a season, there was a moment between God saying, touching his eyes, and the man receiving his miracle. And this man had to push through the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And this man had to push through in his blindness to the pool called sent. And I would want to say to you as a house this morning that God wants you to push through that moment. Because that's the biggest challenge and thing that holds a church back and holds your life back. You hear from God, but then you don't push through to the pool called sent. And God literally wants to speak into your life this morning and say, push through, church. I can actually feel as I'm preaching this morning, I can almost feel the resistance, not of you, but the resistance of the demonic realm this morning. Because he's not wanting me to say this to you. You've got to push through. You've got to push through as a church to where God wants to take you. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. It wasn't easy for the blind man to go to the pool called Sent. How could he even see where he was going? And sometimes that patch between God saying and you getting your miracle, you're as blind as a bat. And you can't understand what God is doing. Perhaps your life is in a situation this morning. You said, God, you said this to me and look at what's going on now. But you're pushing through to the miracle, to the pool called Sent. Jesus demanded the push through. You got to push through every demon shouting at you that destiny does not call you. You've just got to go. You've just got to start, as I said to the ladies yesterday. Your new wine is in your next big step. Now, the amazing thing about this whole story about new wine is that he brought out the choicest wine. He created it out of miraculous jars and water. And our God wants to pour out the new, the miraculous, and the much more in the coming season. And there's a whole new season. There's a whole new ministry, a whole new segment, unlike which you've never lived. It's the sequel. We've got to choose, as the blind man did, to leave the place where we used to live yesterday and embrace the new. Let me tell you about my season. I'm 50. Good answer. And it's been an interesting development for me. I'm an empty nester. My son lives in Australia. Well, actually, he's on the M1. He landed at Heathrow at 7 this morning. He's coming for our 25th birthday. I'm an empty nester. I'm in the grandma... grandma. I'm in the grandma season in my life. And I'm in the grandma season in my church. Like 75% of our church is under 35. And like I am like a fossil to them. And, you know, we sometimes struggle with the next season. You know, I know my husband struggles with it very much because, like I said, he has severe Peter Pan syndrome. And, like, there's nothing more awkward than watching somebody trying to live yesterday's season. Like, there'll be nothing more awkward than me standing up here in a baby pink crop top with Babe on it. You'd be like, she seriously has an issue. I remember Dave telling me about his father. When Dave was about 16, he brought a friend home from high school. And as they were walking up the drive, his dad was dancing to ABBA in the lounge room. And Dave says he's never been more embarrassed in his life. And it's like that with us. There's nothing more embarrassing than us trying to live yesterday when God wants us to embrace. I remember God saying to me something that changed my life, and he said this to me. He said, Jen, he said, you can't live in yesterday's book. He said, Jen, this is your general season. You need to step up and be a general in the faith. Stop acting like a foot soldier. I went like, God, well, that's what I am, a foot soldier. And he said, no. He said, if you don't stand up and be a general in the faith, you're pilfering other people out of their place in the kingdom. I have to embrace my season. And, you know, that's hard for me because I used to sit with these victims of human trafficking and love them to life myself. And now I can't do it anymore. And I want to do that, but God says nothing's going to grow if I stay where I was yesterday. I've got to embrace the new. I've got to step in a new season. And God's got a new season for your life. And listen to me. There's these two new words I have, the vintage and the antique, people. I'm vintage. There's young, there's vintage, and then there's antique. Yeah? So vintage and antique people. Your purpose and your destiny in life is not over until you pop your clogs. God's got something for you to do. He's got something in his kingdom for you to do. And I, listen, oh, I'm on a bugbear now, right? I'm on one. I hate it when people leave our church in Sheffield saying, this church is just for the young. And I'm thinking, why aren't you there mothering and fathering and giving the wisdom to these young people that need you? Yeah. Right, off the soapbox and back down. There's nothing harder than watching people that are just embracing yesterday. That's what history books are about, history. We're rewriting, we're creating future. What time do I need to finish, Joe? I'm fine. Okay, I'm going to finish. You're all very quiet. I'm thinking, oh, I might just have to go out through the trap door in a second. In John chapter 5, there's a story of the pool of Bethesda. And a guy hung around this pool for 30 years, looking into what he thought would be his miracle. But his miracle was something completely different. And I remember God speaking to me very clearly. It was some years ago when God was literally moving Dave and I from one thing to another. And I remember the Holy Spirit very clearly saying to me, and it was because of my personal default switch is rejection. And I was hanging around a lot of people that were really rejecting me. And I remember the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, there are some pools that you're not meant to hang around because they really, all they do is reflect your humanity. And God said to me, you need to get up and you need to move. And we can hang around unproductive places in our life for our whole life. And God literally challenges us to step up and to move because he has better things for us. Jesus told this guy not to hang around the places that you've been. Those places were for yesterday's blessing. You've got to step out into the new wine and the new future. There's nothing more unattractive than someone doing the splits who's not good at it. Because, well, I couldn't do it. I have two artificial hips now. That would be hospitalization if I did it. But you know someone that's sort of lingering on the old season and they're putting a toe into the pool of the future, but they're teetering. Eventually, you'll fall into the chasm called nothingness. God wants you to literally take the leap and step into the new season in your life and as a house. It's time to get with the program of increase. Don't do the splits in an effort to appease those who want you to live in yesterday. They thought I was nice, Joe. I thought, what a nice lady preacher here this morning. It's time to get with the program of increase. Embrace the changed you. Embrace the new seasons. Embrace the expectations of the new seasons. Don't curse what you've prayed for. We get to a place and God begins to lavish on us and give us new stuff. And we go, oh, God, I can't handle all this. And like he's saying, well, you prayed for it. Yeah. What are you doing? Come on. What are you doing cursing it? I'm giving it to you. When God begins to fill up these rows with people that you don't like. There's a lot of truth in that. When your church isn't nice anymore. Just saying. It's time to pick up your mat. Walk on. This is what I say to myself often. Jog on, Jen. Jog on. It's time to dust yourself down and move. I want the musicians to come up. If I can. I love your keyboard player. I just think you're special in the nicest way. Isn't he? We had somebody come to our pulpit and said, your church is special, special needs, is what they said. So I'm not meaning that. You're just you have an anointing as you play. It's just beautiful. You've just got, I just love this guy. I can't pinch him because all our band is under 25. And they're wearing, I'll tell you something I did. I'll let you in on something. This is what I do, right? So I relax you, right? And then in a moment, so I was in our Leeds location the other week because they're all so trendy and the guys are wearing jeans with huge holes and like T-shirts that are dresses and hats and they all looked. And so I was in Leeds preaching, right? And the band, they just look all so cool and something about it irritated me because they were just so interested in what they looked like. I'm like, oh. And one of the guys had these ripped jeans and it was like big holes, right? And I don't know what took over me. When I got in the pulpit, I went, come here, Homs. I said, I've just been wanting to do this all morning. yeah, I did. I went down to the rip. I went, and ripped it right to the ankle. It was so much fun. And then for about 2 weeks, right across the church, on any Instagram, it was hashtag Jenny Gilpin Jean Ripper. And I said, I think you need to take that off because that is not a good connotation for the senior pastor. Yeah, but they're all so cool, it gets a little bit annoying. I just love you. And the nice, do you know God's got something really new for you and your family? He's going to start crying, so it's going to be snot and tears. Are you a crier? So now I'm going to try and prophesy over him, right, whilst he plays the keys. Do you think he can do it? Actually, you're wifey, aren't you? Wifey, come here. God's got something completely new for you two. There's been a season and there's been some difficulty in that season. There's been difficulty with children. There's been difficulty with how even at times that you appear and people, there's been some yuckiness going on. I can just see it in my spirit. And God's got a whole new season for you too. God's going to give you a voice. Keep playing. Let's see if it can do it. God's going to give you a voice. He's going to give you a voice in your workplace. And there's people that have looked at you and thought, oh, he's just that nice guy. But God's going to give you some authority in your workplace. And you're going to speak to the people that have previously intimidated you and they're going to sit back and they're going to listen. I can see promotion. I can see God's going to sort out that financial situation. And it's going to be a miracle. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's good. All right. God's going to sort out that. Oh, God's going to give you a home. God's going to give you the home of your dreams. You know that kitchen that you want? God's going to give it to you. And you know why? Because this morning he says, well done, my good and faithful servants. You've been so faithful to God. And you've literally been in that zone. You've been in that place. You've been in that scent zone. You've been between the mud and the saliva and you before the pool. And God says, Siloam is coming. Siloam is literally coming in Jesus' name. Give them a hand. What a lovely couple. Wow. I want to prophesy today that God has new wine, new promises, new places, new venues, new jobs, and new provision. We're no longer going to camp around the last chapter. We're embracing our expectations and embracing the sequel. We're pushing through to the pool called Scent. We are not hanging around our history, but we are creating history. We are going to embrace the rocky path between the slap of saliva and the sequel. We are determined to push through to the place called Scent. We will adjust. We will alter. We will hunger. We will expect. We are painting a canvas at the end of what we thought was our beginning. And we are painting the multiple colors of the future. Stand with me, church, this morning. Matt, lift your hands to God. Hold each other's hands and pretend you love each other. For God would say to you this morning, Joe and Matt, for years there's been a secret desire within you to be bigger people than you are. And because you are so faithful and faithful with the small things, God would say today that He is about to come and place upon your world that which you dreamed of in your heart. And God would say, Joe and Matt, that He is going to, because He's seen you being faithful in that which He's placed in your hands, that God is going to give you a larger church. And God would say He's going to cause this church to grow. God would say to you this morning that He's going to silence those that have criticized you. And He is going to bring back to this place those that have left because of the criticism. And God would say that I can see in my spirit literally people coming to your home and bringing flowers and saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying things and doing things that were harmful to the kingdom of God. I can see them literally lining up at your door. Over the next 6 to 12 months, I can see 10 couples, 10 people coming to your door and say, I'm sorry, how can I support you in the work of the ministry? I can see them literally coming back to this place and bringing back their finance. And what is lost because of the criticism of the enemy, God would say that He would add and multiply, 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 multiply. These rows will be full of people of multi-generations. And there is a school in this town that you have longed to get into, and for a long time the doors have been closed. And God would say, literally in the coming weeks, Joe, you are going to have a divine encounter with somebody who will open the doors of the schools of this city. And you will find yourself as a house having the ability to speak into lives that up to this point you've had no ability to touch. But God would say, I'm about to give you influence. I'm about to give you profound influence. I'm about to launch you into the new season and the new place. And God would say, truly, as you have named this church, Generations Church, I am going to add to you the generations. God would say to you this morning, I'm going to bring back a raft of young adults into this place. Those that have left and that have gone to the big city, God's going to actually literally call them back. And they're going to know they're called. And they're going to line this place with a large and expansive spirit. And they're going to be a generation of young people and young adults that literally speak to the principalities and powers over this city and refuse to take and embrace smallness. They will speak largeness. Your people will catch that spirit of largeness in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give God a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Father.